Chapter 61. The Vienna Kronos Club stood, or rather had stood, overlooking the Danube on the edge of town, where the waters flood out fat and rolling, their tossing surfaces hinting at the great currents dragging beneath. The city was, by the time I arrived, little more than a pleasure palace for the gently declining aristocracy of what had once been the Austro-Hungarian Empire, who would, in very few years, be ruled by Hitler and his proxies, then Stalin and his. But for now they danced and made music and tried not to consider these things yet to come. I had come to Vienna for the very simple reason that it was the only club I had heard of in all my inquiries where it seemed an older generation had willingly dissolved the society. In London, all trace of the Kronos Club had been wiped away, and I had received no answers as to my inquiries in other cities. But here, in Vienna, there was some hope that, in dissolving the club, the directors had left a clue in the stones, something that Vincent may have missed. I dressed myself as a student of Austrian history and spoke German with a slight Magyar accent, which entertained my hosts no end. I paid my way through a mixture of deception, theft, and that oldest trick for the oldest Kalachakra, remarkably accurate predictions as to what would win at the races. And as I worked scouring the grounds of the former club, tearing through the local civic records, I asked myself, why had the forgetting not worked on me? I could think of only one simple answer. I was a mnemonic like Vincent. But then, did Vincent know as much? The destruction wrought on my kind was a clear indication of how much Vincent knew and how far he was prepared to go with his ambitions. But in my case, how much did he truly know? He had a rough idea of my age and possibly my geographical origins, but he couldn't be sure that my name was my own, nor could he know with any certainty that I remembered a thing. This latter could be a great advantage to me as long as I remained undiscovered. Being caught digging up dirt on the Kronos Club would be highly incriminating and reveal that the forgetting had failed entirely. While my identity remained hidden, however, I could be the unknown thorn in Vincent's side. With this in mind, I lived an endlessly changing series of lives. I stayed in no place for more than a few days, changed my clothes, my language, my voice, on a regular basis. I dyed my hair so often that it quickly became a brittle, mousy mess, and grew such an apt forger of documents, I was offered a commission in Frankfurt to do a job lot for a criminal mob. I left no traces of myself. No pictures, words, letters, names, documents. I kept my notes entirely in my mind, won only as much money as I absolutely needed from gambling, and maintained no close friends. I never wrote to Hewn House, nor told, I think, a single honest truth about myself in all the time that I searched. I was going to be Vincent Rankus's nemesis, and he was not going to see me coming. 3 months it took me, which felt like 2 months too long to search. The Kronos Club directors had been careful, burying all traces but one. A Theodor Himmel had left a note in his will, stipulating that an iron box be buried at the foot of his grave. The note was tiny, a quirky proviso in the documents of a man dead for over 30 years. But it was enough. I sneaked into the cemetery in the dead of night, and by the glow of a torch dug down to the coffin of Theodor Himmel, scraping away until I struck metal. There was the iron box, black and dented, buried as had been promised in his final will and testament. It had been welded shut, and it took me 3 hours with a hacksaw to cut my way inside. In the box was a stone written on in 3 languages, German, English, and French. The writing was tiny, crammed into every curve of the rock, and the message read, "I, Theodor Himmel, who am of the kin known as Aruberon, the snake that swallows its own tail, leave this message for future descendants of my kind who may seek knowledge of my fate. As a child, I was saved from the weariness of my life by the Kronos Club, who came to take me from poverty into riches, companionship and comfort. As an old man, I sought to do the same for the younger generations of my kind, a service I have performed for many lives before this one. Yet, in this life it was not to be. Up to the year of our Lord, 1894, the children of our kind had all been born as they should be. Yet from that fated year onwards, more and more of our kin have been born with no memory of what they are, and there are some, indeed, who are not born at all. It would appear that in their previous life they were captured by a force unknown, and their minds, their souls, the repositories of a great knowledge and character accumulated over hundreds of years, destroyed. It is a sin against learning, a sin against men, a sin against all our kind, and I have seen my friends, my colleagues, my family, reduced to infants again. For them there is no Cronus Club, and I can only pity the journeys they must undertake in their next lives as they go through the pain of rediscovery once again. If you read this, know that I am dead, and that the Cronus Club in this life has been damaged beyond repair. Do not seek it, for it is a trap. Do not inquire after others of your kin, nor trust them. For so many to have forgotten so much, for some to have been destroyed absolutely before their birth, can only be treason. I ask you to bury this stone again, for any others who may come to find it, and pray that the Cronus Club will rise again as our future lives roll by. I read it only once by the light of my torch, and then, as requested, returned it to the bottom of the grave.